Hello and welcome to Dad FM. I'm your host, Adam Cohen of DadaRocks.com.
And it's Drew Bennett from BenSpark.com.
It's Jeff Bogle from OWTK.com.
And this week we're talking about what parenting style are you? Are you like the crouching tiger ninja stealth parent that like hangs back 50 yards? Or are you the helicopter parent? Son, don't do that! So what kind of parenting are you? Jeff, why don't you talk to us about where this topic is coming from today?
Well, so there's big news hubbub. I mean, the free-range parenting people, I don't know if it's the exact same people. It feels like it is. It's the exact same family all the time that's getting in trouble with police because their kids walk a mile by themselves. And most recently, I guess the parents, the cops picked up the kids because they thought they were endangered or something. I'm purposely avoiding reading the story because it sort of infuriates me for lots of different reasons, but
I could talk to you more about that story, which is that a few months ago, this family was picked up on ABC News and put out there as free range parents that they let their kids walk through a city, you know, a mild city, like, you know, not New York, but it's like one of the burbs of a city where they walk through a main street and they have to cross a light at a 4-lane intersection. And it's a 9-year-old son and a 7-year-old daughter, and they go to school together, but it's the two of them together. They're both under 10, whatever the ages are. I think the defining factor is that they're under 10. I think, and that they walk to school about, I think, 3/4 of a mile or 1/2 mile or something together. Okay. Not too far. It's not like a crazy, like, they're walking for an hour alone. They're walking for like 15-20 minutes alone to get to school and back. And they walk together, and that's the whole thing. They never walk alone. But it is that it's just them, right? Mm-hmm. And so they were on this Dateline 2020 Nightline episode, and they were being, you know, heralded as free-range parents. And then all of a sudden, CPS gets involved. And if you don't know acronyms, CPS is Children's Protective Services. And so Children's Protective Services gets involved, and they start combing through this family with like a fine-tooth comb, saying like, you're putting these kids at danger. We've had millions of complaints from people that don't know you because they saw the episode online. How could you do that? And this is kind of like, you know, I don't know. So that's the story. I'm sticking with that is the version that I know of that took place. And then CPSC said they were okay. They let him go, and now here we are, like 3 or 4 months later, and CPSC is now involved again, and this time removed the kids, you know, saying we took the kids, and the parents were like, where are the kids? They started freaking out. They called the cops, or like, the kids aren't home yet, and the cops said, no, we have your kids.
Okay.
You know, yeah. The government took your kids, and now you have to come in and deal with it.
Yeah. So in response, I mean, I've spent my entire life trying to defy labels, being labeled and as anything. And so I'm a mixture of lots of different things. You know, I heard snowplow parenting, that term started being used, like the people that just like push their kids through their entire childhood, just plowing through everything, doing all their homework, just as the name implies. I mean, I think all of them, any extreme of anything is scary and dangerous to me. What we do, why this came up, my buddy, our buddy, dad blogger extraordinaire, Carter Gaddis of DadScribe, wrote a post about how, it's sort of about free-range parenting, but about how he wants to give his kids freedom and feel that freedom. His children are both also just under 10. I believe he has two boys. I think they're maybe 8, 7, and 10, something like that. But he also wants to obviously be safe, feel safe, and have them feel secure where they are. And he doesn't really want them going more than a mile away. That was sort of his radius that he put around his town. His town that he says is completely safe. The fact that it's been never a safer time, according to statistics, to raise a child, despite the fact that the fear levels have never been higher, it seems. Statistically, it is the safest time to actually have a kid out and about. But it got me thinking, you know, it's beautiful weather here on the East Coast, at least where I am. And like the past weekend was just 72 and sunny, and my kids are just out. We have a little stream that runs alongside our house, and they're out in it, and they spend almost all day. They're riding their bike around the block down to the end of the street where we can't see them. And it's a struggle for me. Like, so I know, you know, on one hand, common sense, I know the chances of them – anything happening to them is probably Very unlikely. I mean, they could get hit, struck by lightning on a sunny day, probably more likely than something bad from a predator standpoint happening to them. I do worry about them being run over by a car because people drive way too fast on our little tiny 25-mile-an-hour side street. But I want to not be out the door every 10 minutes going, are you guys there? Just like roll call, you know, you're still around, right? I don't want them to grow up in an environment where they feel like somebody needs to do that. They're in our own yard. They're just on the side of the yard where I can't see them out the back window. And I just wanted to talk about like how I have the oldest of the kids here, but how you guys handle that. I mean, one's in a suburb, Drew. I know you're in a city, so Adam, so that's probably way different. And yeah, your kids are younger, but
I also think it's about how you were raised, right? Like if you had a parent that was always on you like a hawk or did the 10-minute check-in when you were outside playing. Like mm-hmm. I didn't have that. I grew up with like a mom that like we had a nice sized backyard. And so we'd get out there and we'd build forts and we'd go, you know, trumbling through the woods and come back and like, look, it's still Long Island. So how big was the yard? It was, you know, the whole house was out on a half acre lot. So the backyard might have been, you know, 50 feet by 100 feet, you know, at best, you know, which is still a fair amount of land to cover. And we had a swing set and we had a little bit of woods over a fence as a buffer, like a little bit of a reserve. So we would jump the fence every once in a while, go through them as we got older.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, we were still in the backside of a neighborhood. Like, and when I got old, when I think I got 10, at 10 years old, I was allowed to start riding my bike around freely. By the time I was like 12 and 13, I was allowed to go a good mile to a comic book shop on a bike. And I'd buy my comic books every Tuesday or Wednesday whenever they would come out. And I had like an account where like I would have like every issue would be held if I put it on my checklist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was my kind of range when I was growing up. That I would be able to take my bike there. When I got to high school, so when I was 15, I was really able to walk to and from high school, which was like 3 miles away. And so it would take me like an hour to walk to school and if I walked home from school. And that was probably more dangerous than we all wanted to admit. And probably if someone said do that now, someone would probably say no, that's not okay because where you walk through and how you get to and from school is not like a great neighborhood. You do pass a fire station along the way and then you're on a main road with a lot of stores, but it's just, you know, there are parts in there that get a little sketchy and there are, you know, some really good dead zones of like where no one should be and no one is. So if someone like did something, it would be in those spots. I don't know. I grew up like that. And so like now when I'm in the city, because I'm in the city, I do keep an eye on my son, you know, a little bit less these days. I definitely keep more of an eye on my daughter because she's 2 and my son's turning 7. So if like something happened with my son, I know like he'll be able to yell. He'll be able to do something as long as he's not really like injured, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
like really taken. Like if someone's going to take your kid, they're going to take your kid. You're not going to know about it. But if your kid wanders away, you're not going to know about that either. But I think my kid is old enough now that he's not just going to wander away on his own without saying something first.
Right.
And I think my daughter is still at that age where she could wander away and be like, oh, let me go chase a butterfly. And, bleh, and she doesn't really speak and she doesn't know anything. She's 2 and she shouldn't. So I watch her much more like, here's the 10-foot rule. Like, I will be within 10 feet. And so even me and my wife talk about, like, the parents that are at the parks that are nose deep into their cell phones. And they pay no, even though they're right by their kid, they have no clue what's going on with the kid because they're like still on the BlackBerry. And my wife was like, you were like that yesterday. I was like, yeah, because you were with Harper. If I was with Harper, I would not have be on my cell phone like that. You know, if I'm with Mark, I could be like that because I don't have to worry about him so much. So I think it depends. And yesterday there was a nice little incident where a mom lost track of her kid. The kid was like 5 years old. Four or 5 years old by looking at, you know, shape and size of the kid when they did find him. But the mom was like with her mom friends talking and they all had like smaller kids. And then, you know, she just like lost him. And then she started panicking and running around and ran out of the park to check outside on the street, came back in and the moms all started being like, oh yeah, we should be worried about this now. And like within another 6 or 7 minutes, they found him on the other side of the playground in another section. But like they were really worried that he was gone. And so, like, you saw the panic and you started seeing the little mom's cards bam mm-hmm. out. But, like, you also recognize that, like, the mom was talking and so engrossed in the socializing aspect of the playground that she wasn't watching, and then the fear took over the rationale of, like, let me go check the playground a little bit more. So, you know, this is clearly someone that is a helicopter parent that lost sight of the kid and then, like, freaked out. And I think there's something to that. Like, you have to just feel what's comfortable for you. Like, some people really need to see their kids and know where they are at all times. Some believe that, like, a 3 or 4, you know, year old needs to be within, like, in arm's reach of their parent. And some people believe that by 4 and 5 and 6, you should be able to do it all on your own. I'm definitely, like, by 6 years old, I should be able to sit down on a park bench and let my kid play in the same roped-off playground that I'm standing in.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a thought process that runs through my head. Like, I constantly, because my inclination is to want to know that they're safe, but I purposely, this weekend especially, like, I am going to just trust my instincts, trust them, and all the stuff we've talked about, and they're not going to stop. If somebody goes slow and starts talking to them, they're going to pedal their asses off and scream, or I've given them full license to be violent or to say weird stuff, act like a crazy person, whatever you got to do. Like, they have full license to do it. If they're ever in a dangerous situation or a situation where they feel threatened, I have to be like, no, stop, just stay in the house, watch your soccer game, write your story, whatever it is you're doing. They're fine. They're fine. Statistically, they're fine. Use logic, let them go. But it's hard. Like, it's really, really hard. Even for somebody who has common sense and who has faith and who has trust in not only in humanity, but in also in his children, to do that. Drew, how do you, I don't know where you're at with your kids these days, within your suburban life.
For me, I have Andrew most of the time. He's 3. And I took him to the park today, and we were at the playground. And he wants to climb on everything, and he has pretty good strength and ability. But I'm right there with him just in case, you know, if he needs a step up or something like that. I'm not, pushing him through it or snow plowing him or anything. But I am near him enough that... if he's climbing up some bars or things that do have a pretty decent drop if he, you know, loses his footing, I'm close enough where I can, you know, jump over there, but I'm not on top of him. So we played at the park for about an hour. I, you know, generally try to be right there with the kids at the park. It's occasionally I'll glance at my phone, but I'm not like my head in the phone. I barely have time to sit down on the bench at this point because he's everywhere. He is running all over the place and doing everything. So, you know, I can glance once in a while to get you the time, but that's about it, because he's, you know, next thing you know, he's sliding down a slide and some kid's climbing up the slide and he takes him out and like, well, you know, kids shouldn't be climbing up the slide, but my kids should be looking and say, don't slide down when some kid's on the slide. So we had a little talk about that. But, you know, when you guys were talking about growing up, I spent a lot of time on Cape Cod, and it was a little neighborhood, and I had some friends, and we would go to this pond, and we'd spend all day long, like, catching crabs and catching fish and fishing, and, you know, we'd just get on our bikes, and we'd be gone all day long, and... I'm not sure I want my kids doing that. You know, I mean, it was fine when I was a kid, and I guess it's, you know, probably fine for them now as they get older. I was the oldest, so I was probably like 9 or 10, and we would go around all of us. It was a big group of us. It was me and these 3 brothers, my sister, and, you know, so we would go and we would just, you know, play all day long. But, you know, this is also the time when we were all riding our bicycles behind my friend's father's van going up the street, and everybody zipped across the road, across the other lane, 1, 2, 3, 4, when I went across, got hit by a car, you know? So it's like, you know, there are things that happen when you're off on your own. But I enjoyed, you know, all that time that I got to spend on my own with my friends. It was a lot of independence. And I want my kids to be independent too, but I'm not sure I want them, you know, riding their bikes around the particular neighborhood that I live in. You know, maybe when we move to some place that I think's a little bit nicer than where we're at, we purchase where we could afford, and where we could afford is not where I want to be. So
okay,
yeah.
Well, I'd be interested in hearing from people. If anybody wants to chime in, hit us up on Twitter at dad.fm or on Facebook at dad.fm. Do you self-identify as a helicopter, as a free ranger, as a snowplow, as a Mack truck? I don't know, whatever. I don't even know what all the terms are. How do you let your kids be free and experience that sort of wandering thing of yesteryear that we all like to romanticize about while still ensuring that they're safe and secure? I'd love to hear what people, how people do it and what their thoughts are on that. And yeah, please let us know. Good conversation, guys.
Yeah, this has been good. Yeah, awesome. All right, well, stay tuned for another episode of Dad FM coming up soon.
Bye-bye.